Good evening, gentlemen. We continue with the Rambam Hilchos Ritzeach Ushmiras HaNefesh Perek Yud Beis Halacha Yud Beis 12:12 on page 594-595 in the Mosnayim text. Mirtz Hashem, we're on a pace to finish this whole halachas by tomorrow, Mirtz Hashem. So let's move on. New idea, similar concepts, but another idea. You're not allowed to sell to non-Jews any weaponry for obvious reasons. Right? They will use it in ways that will probably not be good for the Jewish people.
10 years ago
with the Palestinians. Yes. Exactly. They didn't even sell to them. They gave it to them. I don't know if you recall. And we don't sharpen weapons for them. We don't sell them the following utensils that are used in one way or another to harm Jews. Lo sakin, not a knife. Velo kolorin, and not chains that are put on the necks of prisoners. Velo kivolim, shel barzel, and not fetters. Velo shalshelas, shel barzel, and different iron chains. Venidua, and raw Indian iron. Velo dubim varayas, and not bears and lions. Lions and bears were used for the Romans. They would have their, gladiators use them in the stadiums, and quite often they would, as they say, feed the Jews to the lions, unfortunately. And that they, the captives would have to, fight the bears and stuff like that to entertain them. It's not a good thing for the Jews. You can't sell them anything that could bring potential dangers to the masses. So you can't give them any proactive weapons. But you can sell them shields. Shame on again, because it's only for protective measures. So you could sell the Palestinians like those things that can stop bombs from, what do we call those things, the protection from
Patriot
missiles. You could sell them, but you couldn't sell them Scuds. Okay.
Israel sells munitions to the states.
Yeah, so that's so again to the states, you could assume that's for their security.
But I know that they've sold weapons to other countries around the world. I can't exactly remember.
Well, the fact that Israel sells weapons to other countries of the world does not necessarily subscribe that the state of Israel follows halacha.
Right.
So,
Wouldn't be the first
exception.
Like India.
Yes. Yeah. Okay. Yud Gimel. Okay. Shame. Just like you're not allowed to sell to a non-Jew these weapons. You can't sell to a Jew who will in turn sell it to a non-Jew because it's no different. But you may sell weapons to soldiers of the country that you are in, since they are protecting the Jewish people. In other words, we live in Canada, and we could sell weapons to the Canadian government, because obviously they would use it to protect us, and then that's fine. Whatever you can't sell to a non-Jew, you can't sell to a Jewish thief. Because you'd be strengthening the hand of a sinner and causing him to stumble, enabling him to do averos. And moving on to that idea, in the next page, in the same halacha, we move on to that next idea of transgressing. It's happening to intertwine with what we're doing in Shabbos morning. We're on 596-597. Anyone who causes a blind person to stumble in a certain area, well, he's not physically blind, but blind in this area. And you give him advice that is not proper for him. Or you strengthen the hands of those who are sinners. A sinner in a certain way is like a blind person because he's blind and doesn't see the truth, number one. Why doesn't he? What blinds him? Because of the lusts of his heart. So if you help another Jew do a sin, for example, if a Nazir asks for a glass of wine and he can't reach it without you passing it to him, or someone asks you to lend him money with interest. So in both cases, you'd be putting a stumbling block in front of the blind because the other guy could not do the Avera without your assistance. So that's what we say in all these cases. Harei say over below sase. You've transgressed the negative commandment. Shenemer, the Torah says, v'ifnei iver lo sitein michshol, in front of the blind, you shall not place a stumbling block. And similarly, haba lito mimcha eitzah, someone who comes to get advice from you, tein lo eitzah ha-hogenes lo, give him proper counsel, not advice that would be bad advice for him. And any types of bad advice you're not allowed to give in business or whatever it is, when it's not good for him, but it's going to be good for you or somebody else, a competitor that's good for you, you cannot do that. Tenzayin. Although you have to give good advice to a Jew, you're not allowed to give good advice to a non-Jew. You can't give good advice to a non-Jew or to a wicked servant. Even though a servant's commanded to keep the mitzvahs, but since he's a Rasha, he should be left for his averos. And as we've said before, people who are bad people, we should let them, you know, let them dig their own graves with their averos. The Rambam source is the Gemara that talks about in Baba Basra, that Baba Ben Buta gave Hordus advice after he destroyed killed all the rabbis, and he felt kind of bad about it. He says, what can I do to make it up? So he said, you destroyed the light of the people, which are the rabbis, so at least beautify the light of the Jewish people, that's the temple. And he told Hordus Hadrian to rebuild the temple in a beautiful way. Gemara Baba Rasa says he only did it out of deference to the temple. Was he allowed to give such advice? Because it was good for the Jewish people. But it's just good advice for Hordus alone, it would not have been good. So that we see, if it's only for the non-Jews' benefit, you cannot do that. So therefore, you can't give them good advice. Even a good idea that he's going to do a mitzvah. But he's still really a Rasha. He's unrepentant in many ways. But he wants to do a mitzvah in this particular area, and you're giving him advice for it. Sir, you're not allowed to do this unless you know he was chozer b'tshuva. Unless the guy's gone away from his wickedness and he wants to go back on the right path, so you can help him. But if he's still the Rasha that he is, but he wants some advice, you give him advice to do a mitzvah, that's not a good thing. And that gives you an example for this. Lonisnasa Daniel. Why was Daniel thrown at the lion's den? What did he do wrong that he deserved to be thrown at the lion's den? He was tested El Al Shehisa Eitzel and Nebuchadnezzar Lita and Shtaka. He gave advice to Nebuchadnezzar to give tzedakah. Nebuchadnezzar saw a very disturbing vision in a dream, and Daniel interpreted the dream that terrible things were going to happen to Nebuchadnezzar. He'd be driven out of the land, and he would live like a beast. And that's taka what happened at the end of Nebuchadnezzar's life. He turned into a four-legged beast. Anyway, he said, but if you want to alter that prophecy, or that dream rather, he advised the king to give tzedakah, and that could get him out of the trouble that would happen. So Nebuchadnezzar listened to his advice. The evil did not come to him until later, only when Nebuchadnezzar became very arrogant and Hashem punished him. But it was a good advice giving the tzedakah. So now, the Gemara says, because he gave Nebuchadnezzar good advice, he got punished, that he got thrown into the lion's den. Shenemar, as the Pasuk says, Lohein Malka. He says, O king, let Milki Yishbar Aloch, let my counsel be acceptable upon you. And then he says, redeem yourself by giving tzedakah. So since he gave him that advice, bad news, you shouldn't give good advice to a non-Jew who is, it's not our place to give them good advice. A wicked Gentile. So again, when we read the Rambam, Russia. So a non-Jew who's a Russia. Obviously, a non-Jew who's not a Russia, you can give him good advice. Generally speaking, you assume many non-Jews and many avodim are Rishoyim. So you can't give them advice. But a ger toshav, you could give them good advice. It's not about a wicked non-Jew and a wicked eved. You can't give him good advice because it'll bring him merits, and we don't want that guy to get merits.
No, a lot of us were employed by non-Jews.
I'm saying wicked. Yeah, I'm sorry, I didn't emphasize that enough. I only emphasized it by the servant.
That's another reason why we don't study Torah learning on Christmas night.
Well, I don't want to get into that, Martin. That's mystical reasons.
That's a different thing.
There is an idea not to learn Torah Christmas night because you strengthen the forces of evil on that night. But I don't want to get into that right now. If we learn so little Torah, it's not one night less to learn Torah.
Okay,
anyway, let's move on now to the 13th and final good lucky number Perek. Perek Shlosha, sort of the 13th chapter. Now moves on to the topic of the mitzvah of prika and te'ina. The Torah says if you see an animal falling under the load that it's under, there's a mitzvah to help the owner unload it. And similarly, there's a mitzvah to load up the animal. Prika, lifrok, is to take off the load. Teina is to load the animal. There's mitzvahs in the Torah for that.
And why is that included in this?
That's a good question. It will be dealt with somewhere along the lines. I saw it somewhere. It will come back to us
before
we're done with it. Okay. Misha paga bechav. We'll see. You know what will come in? I remember now. It's going to come in right in the last halacha. The last halacha. We'll throw it in. Because that is the reason for the mitzvah. As you will see, we'll keep you in a little bit of suspense, so you'll come back for tomorrow.
To hear.
No, I'm not suspicious of you guys. You're the diehards, so you guys are here. Thick and thin, thick and thin. But it's a good question, good question. Aleph. Mi shepaga b'chaver b'derech. A person encounters his friend on the road. Ubehemta rovetzes tachas masa. And the guy's animal is crouching. He's falling under this load that he has. Bein shahaya leh masa haroyla. Regardless, it was a normal load that's fitting for the cow, the donkey. But the donkey's having a bad day. You know, didn't have his geritol. You know, the donkey normally should be able to hold it, but it wasn't a good day for the donkey. Or bein shahaya leh yoser mimasa. Or regardless, even if the owner overloaded the animal, you know, and it's the owner's negligence, right? That's a chiddush in that second case, because we would think if the owner is his fault and he overloaded the animal, that he alone should bear the responsibility of helping it out. Rabbi, I'm saying it does not matter, right? Now, however, the Torah and the Ramah, they add, but if it usually happens, if you got this donkey, and it's like the seventh time this week, he falls under the load, right, then the owner is being totally negligent, and no one's supposed to help. Now, guess, how would you know that? It would have to be a kind of case where you knew that the owner's been, you know, warned or whatever, he doesn't take care of it, but under those situations. But otherwise, we don't say that. Now, Oreh HaShulchan has something to add over here. He says, right, even though, he says, even though it's true that the owner was negligent, that is true, the owner was negligent on a regular case where he overloaded it. So Oreh HaShulchan adds, he's in Simon, Ayin Reish Beis, Sif Katan Beis. He says, Mikol Makom, I'm reading from Oreh HaShulchan, Chayvaso HaTorah, the Torah still obliges you to help him. Why? Because it could be by accident he made that mistake. He overloaded him. Doesn't mean the guy purposely overloaded. Sometimes you don't realize. You don't realize you put on too many packages. You thought the packages weren't so heavy, but they were heavier. So it's not always a negligence. That's why that other case, if he sees someone keeps falling and falling, then you can see a difference over here. And also, there's another very important point that will kind of, there's a second issue that kind of streams through this whole perek. And even though the Rambam says certain things, you got to keep two things in mind. There's an extra mitzvah. The Rambam is not specifically talking about it. One time I'll hint to it in the perek. But there's another issue called tsar balei chayim, pain to animals. And there's a machlokas, big machlokas in the poskim, is tsar balei chayim osur daraisa, biblically prohibited, only rabbinically prohibited. There's a lot of issues about that. Anyway, there's two issues here. There's the issue of the owner's problem, and the mitzvah of loading and unloading is primarily directed to the owner. That the owner shouldn't have, you know, you got a flat tire, you know, we don't worry so much about the car's feelings. The owner is aggravated. It's a difficult situation for the owner to be in. Sure. So with the animal situation, the mitzvah of loading and unloading is not a mitzvah for the animal. It's a mitzvah for the owner of the animal. That's the focus of the mitzvah. But beyond that concept, there's another concept of tsar balei chayim. So over here, let's say the owner was negligent, yeah? And he shouldn't have extra loaded. So maybe in terms of the mitzvah of the Torah of unloading, maybe he wouldn't be obliged for that, right? But there is tsar balei chayim, the animal is suffering. So many posts can say that it is midoraisa, it's a biblical prohibition. And therefore you have to save the animal from the pain that he is in. And that's what Reish HaShulchan continues says. But if the animal normally does fall under that load many, many times, and then in that case, there's no mitzvah of loading it up, because the Torah says, you see the animal's rovetzes, it happens to be falling under the load. But not that it's a raftsan, a weak animal that always falls under the load. In other words, the Torah words in the way you see the animal, oi, he's falling under his load. Like, oi, it's like a brand new situation. He's falling. It's unusual. But what if he's an animal that normally falls under his load? Torah doesn't say that under those situations. Therefore, the owner is more like an unpurposed, negligent person, and he should have been more careful of that. And okay, but there's still, you never know, if that's the logic, then maybe you still have to do it because of the animal's sake. There's different discussion about that. It goes back and forth worrying about the animal. Be that as it may.
Does it matter whether the animal's owner is Jewish or not?
We're going to talk about that. It's going to be talked about. So that, but that's, so remember, so Rambam's primarily talking about the myths of Prika and Te'ina. But there is a separate Indian, separate concept of Tzar Bala Chaim. So clearly here he's talking about the mitzvah of loading and unloading beyond the discussion of Tzar Bala Chaim. That's what he says, continues in the Halacha Aleph, Hareza a mitzvah likrok be'alel. There's a mitzvah to take off the load from the animal. V'zol mitzvah sasei, and this is a positive commandment, shenemar, it says, Azov ta'azov imo. You shall surely help him. You shall surely help him. Now, here is where the, over here, the safer, the commentary brings you down the reason, on point number two. You know, the Rambam will say it specifically later on. He says the reason this is included in Hilchas Rotzeh Mashmiras HaNefesh, because the, that's what he says. The final halacha says that quite often a Jew, if he's left with an animal that his packages are all over the floor, the Jew's gonna, you know, have to spend a long time figuring out how to put it back on and reload it and unload it. He gets spend lots and lots of time over there. He'll be confounded. He'll be confused. And he'll be a great potential victim for highwaymen on the road to kill him. So therefore, the primary reason for the mitzvah of helping the donkey that needs to be unloaded or loaded is for the owner's sake, that he doesn't feel that frustration and becomes the prototype victim, the profile of a victim that the culprits are always looking for to catch. So that's the idea over there. And interestingly, though, if you look in the Torah and the Shulchan Aruch and their codification of the laws, they mention these laws directly after the laws of returning a lost object, right? Why? Because that's the order it is in the Torah. We have lost objects, and then the order is the animal that has to be helped out, and not where the Rambam does it. So it's interesting where halachas are placed has a lot to do with the reasons behind those halachas. So it's unique why the Rambam has it this way.
Does not follow the order of the
Rambam at all. He has arbaturim. The whole setup is different. It's Or Chaim, Choshen Mishpat, you know, and the orders are different. A significant difference exists between the Rambam and others. And there's a lot of Torah that's spoken because of those significant differences that are there. Okay, base. Now, let's say you're going to help and you're going to unload. So I'll look up. So we don't know you got to unload. V'lo yifrok v'yanichenu nivhol v'yelech. Don't help him by unloading him and then leave him all confounded and go. Because what's the problem? And you're not going to help him reload the animal. Because certainly reloading an animal is a far more difficult task than unloading the animal. And most likely the guy will not be able to do that alone. So, you know, you helped him a little bit. That's nice. You did one mitzvah. You fulfilled one biblical mitzvah by helping him unload. But if you're leaving him alone there, there's another mitzvah you haven't done. But rather, you should lift up the animal together with the owner and the contents that are there. First, lift up the animal, because the animal's fallen, right? Lift up the animal, number one. Then return and lift, load up the animal with the load on it. Shenemar, as it says, Hakeim Tokim Imo. You shall surely raise up with the owner the animal. Zo mitzvah sasei acheres. This is another positive mitzvah to do. Now, when you're helping him, but let's say the reason the animal fell was because it was too much of a load. Right? So what are you going to help? By reloading it that way? So there's too much of a load on it. So what do? You put on it a normal amount they can carry. And the rest, you have to tell the owner, go find yourself another donkey. I can't help you beyond that. Either you're going to take what you got and leave this stuff behind and go, or go out to rent a donkey, Avis around the corner, and go rent it out. There's nothing more that I'm obliged to do. You obviously were negligent, and I can't do more than that. So there is a certain responsibility the owner has to take for his actions.
This donkey is rated for 1,000 pounds.
Whatever, that's what the donkey's for, right? Now, next page, 598, 599. Beam hinicho nifal. What if you leave the guy in a panic and you don't help him? Velo parak, velo tan, you didn't help him either unload or reload the animal. Then bital mitzvah sase, you have nullified and negated a positive mitzvah. Because the Torah says you shall surely help him. For overall mitzvahs lo sasim transgressed a negative commandment which says, lo sires chamor achicha. It says you shall not see the donkey of your brother and conceal yourself from it. Rather, you shall surely help him. So you see the Torah emphasizes that if you neglect, it's a negative. And if you don't do, you've transgressed by not keeping a positive. And so it depends exactly. It's different gears over how much you've negated. Really could be the observance of two positive commandments, or each one is a positive with a negative. It's a debate exactly how many, because it says you shall not hide once, but then it talks you shall surely help him load and reload. So the question is, how many negatives is it? Is it a negative for each one of the positives? So it's not clear exactly how many, but you're clearly transgressing at least three sins if you totally avoid this entire situation.
So if you're going to shul and you're definitely going to miss the Zman Kriyat Shema, and you see this, you're supposed to do this?
Well, that's a very good question. Are you going to miss? So there's usually a concept, Osek b'mitzvah, potter min a mitzvah. If a person's engaged in a mitzvah, you're free from doing another mitzvah. But on the other hand, there's another concept. If, according to the Rambam, the concept is the guy's life could be in danger, then you'd have to rethink that. In other words, if by the time you come back from the shul, the guy could be so far behind, his life could be in danger, then that's a question of pikuach nefesh almost. So you'd have to evaluate the situation involved. If it's a place, let's say, where you know there's no danger and the animal's already been unloaded, maybe not. It's a good shiloh. We'd have to look further into the posting. And the Rambam does not talk about this. So we'd have to look into further posting and see what the halacha would be for that. Yeah.
Would a modern day application be if
all kinds of modern, yes. All the Or HaShulchan is going to give his modern day examples with wagons and things like that. It will be a similar idea. The main concept is the distress of the owner. So if you see a guy's car is stalled out during rush hour and he looks very panicked, it would be a mitzvah to help him. However, you have to know if that mitzvah will make you late for work, that could be a different issue because your owner, their boss could be upset with you. You have to call your boss and say, will you let me be a good Samaritan? And the boss says, surely, and just take a cut and pay. And then we'll see how much of a mitzvah. Yeah. And we'll see it talks about in the Rambam, if you're responsible to lose money out of that, are you allowed to charge money for this as well? So that could compensate you for what you're missing. So you have to know, what if your boss is expecting you to make a massive presentation in front of big clients and could lose millions of dollars? You know, your boss will be very panicky as well. You can't take care of one panicked person to solve another one. So it's not so simple. But in theory, you are right. There is this concept. And if certainly you're not, you're your own person, you have your own time, certainly you should help a person. That's exactly what the mitzvah is all about. Exactly what that mitzvah is all about. Okay, let's continue with further halachas. Gimel. Hoya kohen. Let's say you're a kohen. And it happens to be the animal with the load. They're taking a shortcut through the cemetery, and it's falling down, and you see right into the cemetery, the guy's falling in big trouble. You can't become tummy to help him out. Just like you don't become tummy to return a lost object, right? We know that when you see a lost object in a base of forest in a cemetery, and you're a kohen, you do not go and get it. Because there's both a positive and a negative commandment preventing a kohen from contracting ritual impurity that will not be overridden by the commandment of returning a lost object, even though there it also involves both a positive and negative. Right? So it's positive and negative both. So when you have both of them, quite often we say just don't, there's no overriding factor. You have two mitzvahs. The general rule is when it's an even clash, we say shev al tase. Just don't do anything. It's better than that. Similarly here, in this instant, the mitzvah to unload the animal doesn't override the observance of the positive and negative mitzvah that the kohen has, that he should not become tummy. Yeah?
Should you find someone to go in?
It's a nice thing to do. It would be a nice thing to do. You should tell somebody, hey, somebody else needs to do that, but you can't go into the basic forest. That's the main point. Yes, Martin?
What about what Chabad has now at the Rebbe's Kever, where the Kohanim can come in this huge box, which their own reshus? Could you do something like that?
I don't know.
That you have, it has suspenders, and you come in as your own reshus. It's
yeah, but you can't go out of the box.
No, but you can reach. You can reach out. You
can
reach.
What can you reach? You can't go out of the box.
You can't go out of the box either.
Those Lubavitchers, they take their hands out and they mishtateach al the kever.
No.
So you got to stay in the box. So how are you going to be able to help unload the animal if you're in a box, Martin?
Is the animal
into the box?
I don't think that's a practical solution, Martin.
I'm just
okay.
Just one.
Yeah. Think out of the box. Let's say the guy was an old man. It's not his way to load and unload. Meaning to say, you know, let's say a wise man whose dignity, you know, certain dignity, certain things great people don't do. They don't load and unload animal, right? You know, the Mephorsha says, like a Chacham or an Adam Mechubad, a very honorable person. Certain things, honorable people don't do certain things. Even for himself, he wouldn't do it. He himself doesn't load his animal. He hires a servant to do it. He doesn't do it. That's not according to either his health or his honor. It's not the kind of thing he does. He normally doesn't do this. So, Hel Ve'en L'Fichvado, since it's not for his honor, Potcha, you don't have to do this. Now, this is very interesting. Remember, there's that, so that you understand there's no it's mitzvah prika te'ina. That we understand is no mitzvah because it's not for the honor of the fellow to do. Ah, but what about the idea of tsar balei chayim? The animal is suffering, and that is doraisa. So even those opinions who say that it is such an obligation, we could say that is a more overriding position to honor the Torah and its students. And even showing respect to an honorable person who's not a Torah scholar overrides the need to care for animals. You know why? Sorry, Pita, but human dignity takes precedence over caring for animals. And that's what we have to understand. A human's dignity is more important than an animal's pain. That's because human dignity is also a pain. Right? A person is a dignified person. He doesn't do a certain thing. It's not dignified for him. That we worry more about a human's dignity than the pain of an animal because he's only an animal. We don't needlessly cause pain to the animal. But when there's overriding factors and any human need just about that's realistic and normal and practical overrides an animal's pain.
What does pious mean practically? Is this does anybody decide for themselves?
As opposed to Russia. Well, okay, you know what? You'll have to decide on your own. And guess what? Since you don't know, Rambam tells us in the next halacha the rule.
Oh.
See? Dala, that's why Rambam knew you were going to ask this question. Yeah. He knew how he was going to want to go to the next halacha. So Rambam, bedavka for you, my friend. He says this next klal. Says the mark klal.
Believe me, I know where I am.
The mark rule. No, but it's very good. Zaha klal. This is the rule.
Mark my word.
Kol she'ilu ha'iser shaloi. If it was yours, Mark, if it was yours, would you unload and reload the animal?
Yes.
Right? You would?
That's the test.
Right? So if you would do that, then, which number is this? 1 second. Where am I?
I'm on, dollar,
one, no. I'm looking for a little thing. Oh, here it is. And there, for example, let's say you worry about your money. Let's say you care more about your money than your dignity, right?
Yep.
So a certain bill, you know, if a penny falls down, would you pick it up or not? That's the old Shiloh, right? It's not worth my honor to go pick up a penny, but you don't care about your honor. A penny's a penny, right?
Canadian?
So anyway, if you normally wouldn't do it for yourself, right, you would do it. She'ilu ha'ishev was yours, you would have done it. Ha'rezechayev liton v'liv fruk b'shachar. Then he's obliged to load and unload for his friend. V'im ha'yachasid. Now that's the normal rule, and if you wouldn't do it, you'd have to do it. But what if, you're a real pious guy, and you know what you do? You always go beyond the letter of the law all the time. In all halachas, you go beyond the letter of the law. You're makvid on Yashan, and you're makvid on Chol Yisrael, and you're makvid on, you know, if somebody maybe owes you money, you're willing to pay the extra dollar. All these things, you're always extra, extra careful. I feel how you're Nasi HaGadol, you're the biggest Nasi, the Prince of Israel. You see your friend's animal is falling under a load of straw and reeds or other similar not dignified stuff, and it's certainly not a dignified activity, but you are super pious man, then you always go beyond what's expected, then porek v'toein imo, you load and unload with the fellow, because since you usually go beyond the measure of the law, right? So that's what the Rambam says in Hilchas Kseilu Vaveda. You should return lost objects if you go beyond the letter of the law. Similarly, if you normally go beyond the letter of the law, this is a good example of going beyond the letter of the law.